want you to turn your Bible quickly to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to read from verse 20. 2 Kings 13, verse 20 and 21. Technical, I will need your help this morning. This morning, this particular passage we're reading, by the grace of God, I have read this passage over and over and over. And many of us, I believe, we are familiar with this passage. It says, then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Praise the Lord. This story here, I know we are all familiar with this story. And oftentimes when you read this story, especially if you are a Bible scholar, the most common interpretation to this passage is the fact that Elisha died and went to his grave, even with leftover of anointing. That was so sufficient that even though the body is rotting, but the bone can still raise up a dead. That's the most common interpretation we give to that passage. And there are some other interpretations. Some people believe that man coming back to life, that God was actually teaching the children of Israel that, hey, the power of resurrection still exists, even at the death of the prophet. But 3 weeks ago, I was reading this passage. In fact, I've read this passage. For whatever reason, the Holy Spirit took me back. And oftentimes when you are reading the scripture and the Holy Spirit is trying to take you back to a particular verse that you've read before, it's because you missed something and it's trying to get your attention again. So I went back to that passage and I read it. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, this passage is not just about Elisha or about the anointing of Elisha, but about an individual that died. You know, nobody ever made a comment about this dead man. You know, it's as if that the story of this dead man is insignificant in the scripture. It's as if that is not the purpose of that passage. We all think the purpose is just all about Elisha. But see, one thing about the scripture is this. God can give you a word, and that word will mean A to you. And we give the same word to this person, it will mean B to that person. Give the same word to another person, it will mean C. But the word of God is the same. When I read that scripture, my attention was pointed to that man that was dead. The Bible said the man died. And while they were going for that man's funeral, you know, one thing about funeral is this. There are people that are entourage that will go with the man. Some of them will be crying. In fact, I found out they actually have people they hired to cry at funeral. It's a job, you know. You pay them, they just come to your funeral, and they just weep, they cry, and you pay them back for crying. That's a job. But please, don't take that job. But see, this man here, the story this morning is centered on this man. You know, the man is called Dead Man. When I read, give me the NLT translation. It says, once when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse. The man was described as a corpse. I have a version I call Expanded Bible. That version called that man dead man. So this morning, I want us to focus on this man. Because we are focusing on this man, I want us to look at 3 points concerning this man in this story. The first one is the description of the man. That man was so insignificant that the only description the Bible could give that man was a dead man. See, oftentimes in the scripture, the Bible will describe people based on their predicament, based on the issues going on with them. Those people have names, but the scripture will focus on their issue. If you look at the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible said, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole.'" That man has a name. But Bible called that man what? A leper. It was based on that man's predicament, the issue going on with the man. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says, "And a paralytic man," he said, "then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer.'" That man was described based on issue going on in his life. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And two blind men came." Those blind men, they have names. But people call them blind men because that was the issue going on. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? It's a popular story, we all know. Nobody even cared to find out what exactly was that woman's name. But because the best description that could fit that woman was the issue going on, and they called that woman the woman with issue of blood. This morning, you are seated here today. Whatever going on in your life is what people describe you with. The issue you are having is what people describe you with. But I have a good news for you. Your case is different. Yes. No, you are not hearing me. Your case is different. Yes. You know, oftentimes you think you have the worst case. But see, you are not described as a corpse. You know that popular saying, they say, "Whilst there is life, there is hope." This man, no life, no hope. The man had nothing. And the Bible said, Bible described him as a corpse, a dead man. See, your issue here is not even worse. You know, when Bible says, "In all things, we should give thanks to God," we don't know what it means. See, when you think it was, you get from people's story, you go back and say, "Ah, God, oh, thank you." This man, everything that could go wrong went wrong for this man. Not just, you know, there's a saying in my language. I tried to interpret that in English, but I couldn't. They said, when you die twice, they call it akutuku. let me explain it. There used to be a minister of aviation in Nigeria that died. And so they sent some people with a private plane to go and pick up the corpse. As they were coming, that plane crashed. So what happened to that man? That man died twice. This man here, everything that could go wrong went wrong. The man was described as a dead man. Many of you today, because you are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, your description is, when people want to describe you, say, "Oh, that sister that I've been married for 20 years, you know her?" Some of you, it's by your status. They say, "Oh, you know that..." If I've had people say, "You know, that brother that doesn't have papers." That's the description. Some of you, you say, "Oh, that single brother." You know why they call the brother single? Because the brother is old enough not to be single. But because he's still single, people describe that. The brother has a name, but they describe the brother as a single. If some of you, your description is so terrible that you can't even share your description with your wife. You lock yourself up inside, and you know how you describe yourself. Some of you have been described as a failure. They say it doesn't matter what you will try, he will always fail. And those descriptions, you lock yourself up inside. You are like God. But this morning, I have a good news for you. the Lord is not done with you yet.
Amen.
Because the title of this sermon is, He's not done with me. God is not done with you.
Amen.
Whatever your description may be this morning, I have that news for you. God is just starting with you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
This man is a corpse. So, you know, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die in Hebrews 9:27. After death is judgment. When you die, nothing, nothingness. But if this man, even in death, could still have hope, God is not done with you.
Yeah.
This man, not just that the man died. Let's go to point two. The desolation of the man. See, when people are mourning, it is said that that is the final right they are giving that individual. It might be fake money, but people were still mourning. This man was given the final right. Now imagine four people carrying that man. And some people were crying behind the man. And all of a sudden, the Bible said they sighted some bands that nobody could be courageous enough and say, at least this last right, I'm going to fulfill this. The Bible said immediately the people, they were crying. The tears dried off. And they said, man, you are your own. They threw that man. The Bible said immediately they sighted those people. The first empty grave they saw, they didn't even care what was in that grave. Who dug the grave? The Bible said they trashed that man inside that grave. See, the man became lonely. Not only that the man has died, they couldn't even give that man the befitting burial, the befitting right that that man deserved. That was the desolation of the man. That man, many of us were like that man. That our problem is so terrible that even people have given up on us. Even you, the so-called brother, the so-called sister you have that pray with you. At one point, you will call them to pray. They will say, I beg. He comes again. In fact, I've actually seen that. I've witnessed that. That because you call people to pray with you for the same issue, now at one point they start hiding. Once you make that call, they look at your name. Oh, it's the same thing, Daddy. Bro, please move on. Are you the only one? The last prayer retreat that we went to, a sister came out and gave testimony. She's been married for 21 years without an issue. She used to be a member of Detroit Parish. Detroit happened to be the first RCCG in Nigeria. Sorry, in North America. But this sister, every time they call people out, if you are trusting God for the future, you come out. The sister will come out. She will come out. At one point, they will make that same call. She won't come out. Because she said people already knew. It's only you. And when they call, because of that stigma, this sister left that church and moved to Texas. Simply because when they made that call, she couldn't just come out again. And she was still believing God for the fruit of the womb. But she couldn't come out because people were like, are you the only one with this issue? And so she went to Dallas. Even while she was in Dallas, she said during the convention, every year when they made that call, she would come out. At one point, she said, she stopped coming out because people were like, you came out 5 years ago, 4 years ago. What's the problem with you? We are like, some of us were like this woman. We are like psalmist in the book of Psalm, Psalm 42. Psalm 42. It says, as the deer pant after the water brooks, so pant my soul after thee, O God. So my soul thirsty for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? Look at verse 3. It says, my tears, it said, day and night, I have only tears for food. Why my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is your God? Many of us, we are like that. Every night we lock ourselves up. See, when you see somebody wearing a sunshade when it's cloudy, something is wrong. See, it's called sunshade, not cloudy shade. It's because that person is hiding something. The person is hiding pain. See, when you see, when you see people with too much pancake on their face, that you can't even describe them. You don't even know who is behind that pancake again. See, it's not about fashion. That person has cried. The eyes are swollen up. And so coming out is to use that pancake to disguise. We are like psalmist. It says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I don't know what is keeping you up late. I don't know what is causing you to cry every day. But I have this news for you this morning. That period is over. Amen. The siege is over. Amen. God is giving you new songs. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we are so lonely because of that issue that even our spouse don't even know what we are going through. Some of us, we are like failures. We have tried this. We are not even proud of ourselves again. But I have that news. And I don't know why I'm saying this. God is here to change destinies today. Yeah. And he will change your destiny. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. That man was deserted. The man was abandoned. Maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe by your colleagues. Because they know it's the same issue. Maybe by friends. Some of us, we are so used to that issue that it's even become ours. That even when they call for prayer points, we don't even come out again. Because as far as we are concerned, that is just me. That is me. It's not going anywhere. God is changing that situation this morning. Amen. He's changing that story this morning. Amen. You know, in verse 4 of Psalm 42, when I read this place, it said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. It said, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. With multitude, I kept pilgrim feast. See, I used to go with people. I used to rejoice. You know, when they called it, I used to go. But now I can't again because of that stigma, because of this issue. If God can remember that dead man in the grave, because you are alive, he will remember you. Amen. Let's go to point number 3. That's my last point. The deliverance of this man. When Elisha received the double portion of the anointing, the Bible says in the time of Elijah, Elijah performed 14 miracles. At the death of Elisha, he performed 27 miracles. One shy of that 28. What is the odd of God keeping just that one miracle for that man? What is the odd that after everything that Elijah did, God could still reserve that one miracle for nobody? There's one miracle left for you today. Amen. See, it doesn't matter where that destiny helper is. That individual that is connected to you, even if that person is in the grave, your miracle will seek for you. Amen. Your miracle will find you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This individual, the Bible said, Elisha performed 27 miracles, but shy of one. Even that one that he was shy of, guess what? There were people that needed that miracle when he was alive. You know how I knew? Two chapters before that, the Bible said the king of Israel was sick. And he stepped to Elisha and said, will I recover from this sickness? Elisha said, no, you won't. And the Bible said that man died. But guess what? That miracle was still left. That one miracle was still left. But somebody still died. This man received a deliverance that can never be described in the scripture. In fact, when I was reading this place, the Bible said the man did not just... Let's read that place again. It says, so it was as they were burying a man, and suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in Elisha. And when the man was laid down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, and he stood on his feet. What kind of revival is that? When the Israelites buried their people, they wrapped them up like a mummy. Remember when Jesus Christ raised up Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. But guess what? He was still bound until he said, loose him and let him go. But this man was not justified. This man was not justified. The Bible said the man revived and he stood upon his feet. I declare to you, anything binding you in the name of Jesus, that chain is broken today. That fetter is broken today. In the name of Jesus. This man experienced the power of resurrection. The Bible said everything that was wrapped over that man came loose by that power. This morning, your deliverance is here. Amen. People will always say that you need that for you to get a miracle, you need an element of faith. Don't believe that, sir. Faith is good. But see, there's a place whereby God will bypass faith. He will bypass your weakness. He will bypass your... He will just show you mercy. Amen. This morning, the mercy of God will speak for you. Amen. Anywhere your voice could not be heard, the mercy of God will speak for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This man, the only thing that worked for this man was the mercy of God. I mean, the man is dead. You can't expect the faith from that man. The man is dead. You can't expect any hope from that man. But guess what? The Bible said when the mercy of God comes, what you have doesn't matter. What you don't have doesn't matter. Your name doesn't matter. Your background doesn't matter. Your father's name doesn't matter. But the mercy of God will bypass everything to make God's will to be fulfilled in your life. And so shall it be. In the name of Jesus. I want to, before we probably come to an end, look at the book of, let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Verse 29. Matthew 20 from verse 29. The Bible says, now as they went out, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road. Heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And so Jesus stood still. See, when the cry of mercy is sounded, Christ will stand still. Amen. This morning, as you cry for mercy, heaven will stand still for you. Amen. As you cry for mercy, the whole force in heaven, everything will come together and they will begin to answer to that cry. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus Christ had the cry of mercy. And he turned back and said, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Christ is asking you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? He said, what do you mean? And they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion. See, that's one thing about mercy. See, that's what mercy does. The Bible says, he looked at them. He said, faith, nothing. But the Bible says he was moved with compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately, say somebody, someone say immediately.
Immediately.
I can't hear you.
Immediately.
And immediately they received their sight. This morning, suddenly you will receive your miracle. In the Jesus. All we need this morning is the mercy of God. Nothing. I don't know what the doctor have said concerning you. That thing may be true. But see, it doesn't matter what people have said. The mercy of God is sufficient to override everything. The Bible said that man at the beautiful gate, that man was lame. Now, you know, when you have an issue, even when the help for that issue comes, because that issue has been so long, you won't even know you have that issue again. That issue becomes you. See, that guy saw miracles walking by. The only thing he could ask for was what? Was a dollar. Give me a dollar. And they look at him. They look at, well, this man, you don't need a dollar. Because and God, we don't have. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This morning, you are rising up and you are walking.
Amen.
You are walking into your destiny.
Amen.
You are walking into your riches.
Amen.
You are walking into your breakthrough.
Amen.
You are walking into your prosperity.
Amen.
You are walking into your divine life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Rise up and you have to, rise up this morning. Let us pray. Declare this morning. Rise up and say, Father, I need your mercy. Lord, I need your mercy. Let your mercy speak for me today. Only the mercy of God can speak. It doesn't matter, maybe you are the cause of the problem. But when the mercy comes, the cause doesn't really matter. Say, Father, show me mercy this morning. Show me mercy. And that's all that we need. I don't have the faith. I'm not even qualified for the blessing. But I just need your mercy this morning. That your mercy will speak for me. In my place of work, where my promotion is tied down, your mercy will speak for me. In the life of my children, enemy attacking, your mercy will speak for me. In my businesses, in my career, your mercy will speak for me. In my marriage, your mercy will speak for me. In the name of Jesus.